This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning on the program, we're going to be talking about the Good Shepherd's Children's Home right here in Murfreesboro. And if you're not familiar with that, you will be before the program is over. Randall Grevy is with us. He's the director. He's on the board, has been for about 5 years. David Grubb's also here. David is one of the new house parents, assistant directors. He and his wife, Angie, and two daughters have been here for, how long have you been here?
Just over a month.
Just over a month. Oh, you're newcomers.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to town.
Thank you.
And prior to this, what did you do?
I was a police officer for about 20 years.
Okay. Is that a prerequisite?
I don't think so.
Dwayne Perry is here also. Dwayne grew up at the Good Shepherd's Children's Home. He's a local business owner. Dwayne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today. Who would like to give us a little of the history of the Good Shepherd's Children's Home? They're pointing to each other now.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, the Children's Home started in 1958. And it's been here since that time. I think we've had close to over 1,000 to 1,200 children come through the home at any given time, mm-hmm. Offered safe sanctuary and a great home environment to help those kids in need.
And the late minister, I believe, Woodrow Medlock, got this started.
That's correct.
And were you there when he was there?
No. He turned the children's home over to Fred and Martha Kimmel, I think, in 1962. I think I came in 1964.
Mm-hmm. And I believe Martha is still living there on the property.
She is.
Very good. She has touched so many lives in a positive way. So you were there during most of her tenure, her and Fred's tenure, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell us what it was like to be at the Good Shepherd's Children's Home, because I think this gives us a feeling of what the services are. What did that do for you?
Well, it was just home. It's all that I knew. It's the kids are we just try to make it as normal as possible. Go to school, do your chores, do the things that kids do, play. It's just a great environment.
So how many, and you could almost look at all the other kids over there as your brothers and sisters.
That's correct.
So you had a big family. How many brothers and sisters did you play with when you went home from school?
Well, at any given time, I think we've had up to, I think the most we ever had was, I think, 32 children at one time. As I got older into high school, I believe we were more like 8 to 12. But there's a core group of us that grew up together as small children, as 2, 3, 4 years old, that we still stay in touch. So we truly are brothers and sisters.
As you look at the Good Shepherd's Children's Home, what brought you there? Because I imagine what brought you there would be similar to what would bring other children there today.
Well, in my situation, it's the home is set there to keep families together, brothers and sisters. I'll let Randall address more of the current needs today, but in my personal need, my mother and father were separated, divorced, and my mother was having some physical problems and could not take care of us. And we were put with aunts and uncles, and those aunts and uncles put brothers and sisters together so that we could be together as a family unit.
And so you grew up with your real brothers and sisters there at the Good Shepherd's Home?
Two of them.
Okay. Randall, tell us, is that pretty much what happens today?
Pretty much. Our focus really is
is to minister to children that are abused, neglected, or coming from situations in the home where the parents can't take care of them. And we don't necessarily are set up or equipped to help troubled children. And there's a lot of homes out there that are set up for troubled children. But our goal really is to take the ones who are just in unfortunate situations and giving them a safe place where they can grow up and give them opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have. And, you know, it's a great ministry. We've really enjoyed being a part of it.
And so as you have witnessed what's happening there for being on the board for 5 years, what have you seen happening at the Good Shepherd's home here in town? Have you seen lives continue to be changed in a positive way?
Absolutely. There are, you know, over the course of, I grew up in Murfreesboro, so I was very familiar with the home. Mm-hmm. And my parents actually volunteered when I was a kid, so I was out there quite a bit. I remember Dwayne, and we would we had a lot of fun out there. It was an environment that there's always something going on, and I can remember spending the night over there at the gym. They have a small gymnasium there, and we'd play basketball, and Dwayne was kind of the big man on campus when I was there, and I can remember he making all the other little kids go to bed. He'd go down and shoot his free throws, but a lot of good memories. So I've been around the home for quite some time, and just kind of reconnected with the home. I had moved out of town and ended up coming back and reconnected with the home about eight or 9 years ago. Mike and Barb Juno were the previous directors of the home, and he became a good friend of mine, and he passed away about a little over a year ago. And so that's when I was able to step in, my wife and I, and kind of bridge the gap a little bit. And we had been praying for some house parents to come in and help us on a full-time basis, and that's when we found David and Angie Grubbs, and they've turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful addition. But the kids at the home, I'm telling you, they really, our goal is to make it, like Dwayne said, as normal as we possibly can. It's difficult to have to leave your normal surroundings and leave your home and go to a place that's unfamiliar, that you know it's a totally different environment. But we try our best to make it very comfortable, very normal, very fun. We try to keep the kids busy and a lot of activities, and so it has. I've seen lives that when they got there, you could tell they were just in deep depression and really struggling with things that have happened in their past, and I've seen the Lord really work in the lives of some of these kids and turn them around, and many of them have gone on to be Dwayne's business owner here. I've seen them be nurses and attorneys and just a variety of different fields, and they've gone on to be successful, and they just needed that opportunity to a place where they could, you know, grow up and have a shot.
Now, do they usually stay at the Good Shepherd's Children's Home until they grow up? I mean, all the way through school?
Well, our ministry is really designed to take the children during a period of time where the families are needing to get help. So what we do is we'll take temporary custody of the children, and we'll take all responsibility for them. And the parents, you know, a lot of times we'll have situations where a mom's having to go to prison for drugs or something, and the children have no place to go. And we try to get in between that and the state. So before the kids get turned over to the state program, which is a great program, we try to get custody of the children and let the families go get the help that they need to get, and then eventually try to reunite those families back together.
So this is before the foster parents come in. This is before
Correct.
The Department of Children's Services take
Correct.
Over.
Correct.
This is hopefully a stopping point so that does not happen.
That is correct. This is an option that we want to introduce people to say, hey, you don't have to lose your kids if you're having troubles with certain things. You know, you can place your kids with us here at the Good Shepherd Children's Home, and we'll take care of them. We'll love them. We'll nurture them. We'll give them a safe place, and you go get the help that you need. And eventually, you know, Lord willing, things will work out and they can be reunited with their families.
Now, David and Angie Grubbs are the new house parents. They just moved here a couple of months ago. formerly a police officer for 20 years in Florida, has two daughters. What did your wife think when you came to her with this idea?
She was initially not quite sure about it. We had been looking for about 2 years. I felt called of the Lord to leave law enforcement and get into full-time Christian service about 2 or 3 years ago. And I called her and told her that I'd just gotten a phone call from a friend of mine from college from 20 years ago, and she had talked about the children's home, and I had said, well, why don't we go up and look at it? And I talked to Randall that night, and I think both felt pretty good about us coming up here to look at it. So we came up here back August of last year for about a day and a half or 2 days and just fell in love with the home. And I told my wife on the way back home, I said, it feels like we're leaving home to go back to our old home. And 6 months after that, I got a call one afternoon back in December, and Randall said, you want the job? The job's yours. So we packed up and got here about a month ago.
Well, now, when you were in law enforcement work, were you a school resource officer, or what were you?
Well, I did a lot of things over 20-plus years. I spent the last 2.5 years working in the schools as a school resource officer, and that's kind of where I developed my love again for kids. I worked with the youth group at our church down in Florida, enjoyed kids, always have, but it wasn't until I got into the schools and I saw the real need for parents and taking care of your kids and providing them with the stable home environment that so many kids today don't have. And when this opportunity came up, I was like, God opened a door and we walked through it. So that's kind of how we ended up here.
So you're really working with youngsters, mm-hmm. being their mentor, so to speak.
Yes.
Showing them what's right and wrong, showing them how to have respect for others, everything that hopefully they would have learned earlier, but probably did not because of situations that are out of their control.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's just the various things that you do normally as a parent, or that I would hope that you would do as a parent, that you teach them to respect authority, you teach them how to live, how to be responsible and accountable, and so many kids these days don't have that. And that's what we bring, hopefully, to the table, is that opportunity to say, hey, you can be a kid, you can have your fun and enjoy this time in your life, yet do it in a respectful and responsible way. And that's is our whole goal, is to love them unconditionally, to be there for them, and to say it's okay to be a kid. It's okay, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to stumble and fall, but we're going to be there to help you get up and learn how to do things the right way, in a Christian way, hopefully.
Now, Randall and Dwayne, you both have the ability to look back to the 60s, 70s, back to another generation that was growing up at the Good Shepherd's Children's Home. As you look at what was coming out of that generation compared to today's generation, are the needs different? Are the children coming into it with problems they did not have back then?
I definitely think so. The kids who come to the home these days have been exposed to so much more. And that, you know, we're a family style home out at the home. We have boys and girls, which is a little different than a lot of homes. A lot of homes just focus on boys, and a lot of them just focus on girls. But as Dwayne mentioned, we try to keep the family units together as much as possible. And so with the exposure that these kids are getting to all kinds of things, drugs, alcohol, sexual things, it creates challenges. And they come in just struggling with a lot of, for better or worse, just addictions. And we have to try to work with them and teach them that, hey, that there's a better way. And so there is definitely a different culture that we're trying to battle. And, you know, it's a daily battle. It is.
Now, with today's children, obviously today's children are similar to yesterday's children in that their parents are their role models. Mm-hmm. If the parents are not close by, aunts, uncles, close family are the ones that they learn from. And hopefully they learn the right things. Mm-hmm. But if parents and relatives and what have you, caregivers, are going off to serve prison sentences, sometimes the message that they get is not what they should be getting, I guess.
Absolutely, and that's one of the challenges that we have, is these kids come from situations where they have not had role models, and they've pretty much a lot of them have been left to raise themselves. And so they don't have a moral compass. They don't have right from wrong. And, you know, every kid is different, you know, but every personality is different. But they all are looking for stability. They're all looking for somebody that will care about them, somebody that will love them, and somebody that they can just talk to. A lot of these kids, you know, unfortunately, you know, they don't know who the father is, and they don't know when mama's coming home. And so they just wander around and they talk to whoever they can talk to. So just being there for them and providing an opportunity for them to share their problems and their fears and their burdens. And that's really the way to a child's heart, is just having the opportunity to let them talk. And that's one thing we try to do out there, is giving them an environment where they feel safe, they feel comfortable, they'll open up and they'll talk about some of the things that they've struggled with or some of the things that they've gone through in the past.
David, I guess that's where you and Angie come in.
Yes.
Especially your strength as being a school resource officer initially, before you came up here. That gave you a chance to be a role model in schools, and I'm hearing from local SROs here how sometimes they're the only ones that the kids really get to know and trust.
Yeah, and that's very, very true, and I'm finding out that it's not just a Florida thing or a Tennessee thing, but it's all over. The fact that these kids are at age 4 and 5 being forced to raise themselves, because as was said, they don't know who dad is, they don't know if mom's coming home, she may have to work 2 or 3 jobs. And it's a tragedy when I get asked by a kindergartner, and I was called Officer G back when I was in the schools, and he comes to me, he says, can I have a hug? And I'm like, well, sure you can have a hug. And I just asked him, well, why do you want a hug? He said, well, I never get these at home. And it just drove the point home how important parents are, and to have that stable home environment where the kid knows I'm going to have food to eat, I'm going to have a place to sleep, I'm going to have someone who lets me be me and doesn't come home at 9 o'clock at night and then leave at 9:30 to go back and work again. And these kids are so desperately searching for that.
So this is, it oftentimes, the only solid home that they've ever had.
I saw it every day where I would talk with kids, and I worked for the last year and a half in the elementary schools working with K-4 through 5th grade. And it was a daily scene where I would have to deal or talk with kids who were going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is desperately needed not only here but all across America.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're at the midway point. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. And this is the point where we open up the phone line. So if you have any questions dealing with the Good Shepherd's Home, if you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Randall Graby, David Grubbs, and Dwayne Perry are with us this morning from the Good Shepherd's Children's Home right here in Murfreesboro. Our number again, 893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are.
This is Dr. Pete, host of the Maximize Living Health radio show, where living healthy means living free. You can tune in and listen to me every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 here on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro is home to the 2012 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's the Ford F-150, now in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Need something bigger? Check out their Super Duty line of trucks. They've got over 50 to choose from right now at Ford of Murfreesboro. Plus, they have over 50 Ford Escapes and over 50 Ford Mustangs in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com, Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Robert's Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest. personal and professional service for your car. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We're still clearing that accident, I-24 at the 840 junction as you make your way into downtown Nashville. But other than that, we've just got the usual slowdown areas in Murfreesboro, Broad and Memorial, also I-24 at 96 and I-24 at 231. Don't forget about those possible slippery spots because of yesterday's wintry mix that hit the mid-state. Get a $49 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather now, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
In a President's Day forecast, we'll have beautiful sunshine. Our highs will be in the mid-50s with a north-northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Right now, 30.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I probably was the most stubborn human being on the face of the earth to have to come to the fact that I needed help.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
Never be afraid to ask. You're able to keep yourself in your home. Those choices can be given to you.
We do a great job with our clients, but we try just as hard to support and be there for our caregivers.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
This is your Good Neighbor Network, WGNS Murfreesboro, WETVLP Murfreesboro, W263AI Murfreesboro, and W270AF Murfreesboro.
To your sweet face, always.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking about the Good Shepherd's Children's Home. And if you're not familiar with that, perhaps you have a question. 893-1450, if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you too. 893-1450 is the number. And this is the segment where it's your program. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hey, Bart.
Good morning.
Jim Avery.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I just want to say I'm glad that this young man has come in here to take the children's home and to help us, and we appreciate it. I was on the committee that drew up the Constitution and bylaws for the children's home when it started. Our church, of course, Westview Baptist Church, began the children's home. But I'm just so glad that sounds like this man is well qualified, and I appreciate Dwayne. Dwayne Perry's really been stood by the children's home all these years, and of course he lived out there and was raised there. But the Lord really blessed him, but he's been a blessing to the children's home, and so is Randall, because Randall came in and to fill the place there until we could get someone, because due to the death of Mike Juno, who did a good job while he was there. But I'm glad that they got somebody. And Dwayne, I'm glad to hear that you're still around, still helping support the children's home.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim.
And then I'm looking forward to meeting this new director. And
I look forward to it, too.
Get together with him one of these days. But anyway, just saying I'm glad that they got someone now, and now they'll be able to reach out and get some more children in, take some more, because we've been handicapped. We couldn't, we didn't have enough staff, but now maybe we can get back in there and soon have a full house out there. All right, well, Bart, I got to get in here and work myself to death for 2 hours and try to see if I can.
What, are you over at the Wellness Center this morning?
I'm on the way over there, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun. I know you will.
We'll see y'all.
Take care. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number. That was Jim Averett. 893-1450 if you have a question or a comment this morning. So, Jim, very much a leader in the community and very, very much involved with the Good Shepherd's Children's Home, especially in years past. So, David, I know that gives you encouragement, knowing
yes,
you have backing like that.
Oh, absolutely. To just the response that we've gotten from the church at Franklin Road, and everyone that I've talked to, has been just tremendous, and they've made us feel at home, and we feel that now this is our home. So we are very, very glad to be here.
What do you do? How do you get children? Is this up to the state? How do you get them?
Well, we're relying on the listeners of the show as our eyes and our ears, because we know of situations where we would love to go get the kids. Be honest with you, there's several situations right now where we would love to go take the kids, because they're just not being taken care of. But unfortunately, we can't do that. We're a voluntary placement home, so parents have to be willing to sign their rights over to the children's home, and the kids have to be willing to come. So it's one of those things where it's difficult to go find kids, and we can handle up to 20 children out there right now. Our license is for 20 kids, and we have plenty of occupancy. We just it's difficult to find the kids. So what we're trying to do is just spread the word and let people know, hey, we're here. When the home started, Murfreesboro was very, very small, and when I was a kid, everybody knew everybody, and the Good Shepherd Children's Home was a part of the community. And over the years, it's just kind of, Murfreesboro has grown, and there are so many new people who have no idea that there's a children's home ministry like this right in their own community. I mean, you can go down to local Walmart and ask 100 people, and 98 of them will never have heard of the home. So this is a great opportunity for us to try to spread the word and let people know there's an option out there. If they know of situations where families are struggling, and there's an option for them to utilize the home.
You're acting as a home itself. You're not a school. They go to regular schools. Is that
correct?
Right?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, the late Woodrow Medlock started at Children's Home.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. You have a good day. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. And Reverend Medlock started the home out of a lot of love, and that love has continued, it sounds like.
Yeah, my understanding, and Dwayne, correct me if I'm wrong, the home really was born out of a baby being left on the doorstep of Woodrow Medlock's house.
I've heard the same.
I'm not. Maybe somebody out there can confirm that story. And he recognized that there was definitely a need. And I think Rutherford County, from what I've heard, statistics, it has the number one need, a very large need for foster parents, but it's got the lowest number of foster parents who are qualified.
But this is not a foster.
This is not a foster home situation. However, it serves similar to a foster home in that it'll take the children in, give them a loving place, with the ultimate goal to reunite them with the families.
Now, you mentioned about a baby being left on, possibly. We don't know. And if somebody knows this, call us and share it with us. But you talk about a baby having been left on Reverend Medlock's front porch. That's what movies are made of. I mean, you hear about things like that, but you don't see those today. I wonder if, does that really happen today, or is that just yesterday? I'm not sure. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Mark, that's right. That's right. This little girl was left out there out of his house, and that's where the vision for the children's home came from. His daughter, adopted daughter, Mary. It was Connie and her sister were left out there. Connie, and I forget Connie's last name now, but Dwayne probably knows who I'm talking about.
Connie Nevels.
And Connie was left there, and her sister, and that's where the vision came from. And then later on, he adopted two more children, but they wasn't in the children's home at the time. But that's where the vision came from to start the Good Shepherd Children's Home.
Very good, boy. Jim, thank
you
for...
Any other question you need? Because I was there.
A historian.
I was in the founding of it. The late Alvin Collins, the lawyer Collins, met with us one night and helped us draw up our bylaws and our constitution and helped us file a charter. We incorporated the children's home, and that happened back in the 60s.
Jim, while you're on the phone, Jim, let me ask you a question, because I know that this is not a foster home, and I was told that it's not a foster home by choice, because if it's a foster home, you get federal funding, and you do not want the federal funding. Tell us.
That's right. We didn't want the federal funding. We didn't want to get involved with the federal government because so much of this... political correctness and the so-called separation of church and state. We figured that if they got their nose, you know, it's like the old saying, if a camel gets his nose in the tent, it won't be long till the whole camel will be in there. So we decided early on that we didn't want federal funds, and if we got anything at all, it had to come no strings attached. So we didn't get federal funds. We just had to raise the money, but that's the reason because with their money comes control, and now you see what's going on lately with the government trying to dip into the religious liberty and telling church organizations and faith-based organizations that they've got to pay for insurance for contraceptives and the morning after pill and all that business, and you see what kind of firestorm that our Mr. President has created. And so we'd had problems if we'd have gone with the federal funding and made it a foster home, because foster home, that's where the court, you know, awards you custody. And so
very good points too. And so instead of having to, you know, give contraceptives and what have you, instead you have some good upbringing where they are taught right and wrong.
We try to bring them up with strong family values and strong moral values. And you know, so we didn't want to take the government mandate. Now, we adhere to all the health and safety regulations from the state, and the state, we have a state license. The home is licensed, and they come in every year. The state people come and have a visit with our home. But over the years, we've never had any problem, and we've been able to comply with the rules and the fire people, you know, and all that. We comply with that because we firmly believe in the health and safety of the children, and so we try to abide by all those rules, and then we send them to school. And over the past few years, they've gone to either Franklin Road Christian School or Bellwood Christian Academy, and so we keep them in school, but we try to keep them in a Christian school. So we're strictly a faith-based, no federal, no government control home, except for the regular safety rules and you know, health rules.
Very good. Jim, thank you again, and
all right, well,
good luck on that exercising today.
Well, I got to get in here. I'm just putting it off.
call back later, and we can prolong it a little more.
I might not be able.
Okay, talk to you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're talking about the Good Shepherd's Children's Home. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. 893-1450, we're going to check on the weather, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm not a perfect person.
We're loud. We're proud. We're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
For your President's Day forecast, we'll have beautiful sunshine. Our highs will be in the mid-50s with a north-northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Right now, 30.
Maybe you need a new mattress.
And Bud's Tire Pros.
You can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
This is FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11. Talk radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station.
I'd like to hide away. Somewhere and lock the door. A single battle lost, but not the war. 'Cause tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway. So bring on the rain.
Welcome back. We're talking this morning about the Good Shepherd's Children's Home here in town.
The hard times circle.
Randall, do you need volunteers? Do you need people who have certain abilities who just care for kids to help you out?
Well, there's always something going on at the home, and one of the challenges is trying to coordinate the volunteers. We do get quite a few volunteers that will come out and want to help in any way they can, and so we try to keep a list of all those people, and as things come up, as projects come up, we try to reach out and bring those people, those resources in. We've recently started a renovation project out at the home, and we're redoing all the children's rooms because the home out there was built, I believe, in 1964, and it was basically a concrete bunker, and so we've gone in and tried to warm it up a little bit and cover. We're working on covering the walls with drywall and getting some paint on them, and really trying to update the place. So we've had some volunteers come out and help us with that. And so, like I say, there's always something going on out at the home.
It's like a big house.
It is.
If you're capable of holding 20 children,
yeah,
it's a lot of bedrooms.
A lot of bedrooms.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I was just wondering, you know, you hear about class reunions, and then you hear about family reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Has the children's home ever had what you would call a family reunion, since it is a children's home, where people, you know, may have left several years and come back for a gathering to meet each other, share experiences of the home?
That's a good point.
And by the way, Brother Jim, I hope you're listening again, because you're a great foundation for that place. Yeah. And so is mm-hmm. Brother Medlock, too.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have a good day, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Dwayne, now you've been there and done that. What about that?
Yes, we'd love to do that more often. Growing up there, I mean, even though it's, quote, a children's home, it was the only home that I knew. It is my home. So it's like getting to come home, and every time that I come out there, whether I'm visiting at Martha or visiting Randall or Mr. Grubbs here, I don't look at like I'm going to visit. I'm going home. just like any normal kid would go home. I on the boys' end, I lived in every room down there at one given, you know, one point or time. We have had one sort of anniversary kind of thing, and we reached out to almost every kid that we could find. But as you can tell, the children have are all over the United States, in numerous, you know, states, Florida, California, Indiana, it just goes on and on. Some of the children choose to stay in touch, some don't. I do know that for myself personally, there's, like you said, it's like people ask, how many brothers and sisters do you have? I have two brothers and two sisters that are blood brothers and sisters, but I have probably 15 or 16 that I just, that are like my brothers and sisters that I still stay in touch with. And it's exciting, it's fun. When Michael Juneau passed, we've had a chance for some of the kids to come back to the home at that point. Love to see them, love to stay in touch. Many of the children growing up, the one thing I can say, and I was just sharing with the guys, not every child that's come to the home has turned out to be a model citizen, but many have. But what I can say is many of those have called back and will call to ask to speak with Aunt Martha and say, I just want you to know that my time there was special. It's something that I'll always remember and look back on with fondness. We had structure. I felt love. And, you know, that's what the home's about. It's not a charity. It's a ministry.
Now, we're looking at almost 50 years.
That's correct.
In that period of time, any idea how many children have grown up there?
I wish Aunt Martha would call in because she could tell you. But I would imagine, and I'm thinking probably 1,200.
1,200?
1,200 that have come and gone at any given time.
That's a lot of youngsters.
That's right.
Now, how long do they stay? I'm sure it's different for all of them, but
it's different,
what's the average stay?
I can speak when I was there. It seems like, you know, two to three years. Again, I was there from two to till I graduated from high school. So 16.
This was your life.
This was my life. That's correct. But we've had children that have been there for, you know, a year or two, five, six, seven, eight. It just depends on the needs of the family. As Randall said, oftentimes when kids would start doing very well in school and with structure in their life and they were turning their lives around and the parents were able to get their lives back together, then they would go back to be with their families. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that didn't happen. And so in that case, you know, you wouldn't treat it as though you were an orphan. It was just home. You know, we fought. We had fun. We did everything. We were mischievous, and trust me, I'm sure most of the neighbors around there know that. We had a great time, and it was always something to do. I remember my kids from school friends from school would come out, and one of my good buddies, Mark, he would say when he first came, he thought it was a home with barbed wire and all that around. He had no vision as to what was coming on, but when he came out, he goes, man, this is fun. I want to come back. So, and the neighbor kids were always at our house. Yeah. Uncle Fred
That's
would
good.
Fix
yeah.
dinner, and there would always be an extra place for the neighbors, so it was great.
We occasionally have that. Parents want to bring their children out, try to teach them a lesson to be more grateful for the things that they have, and they get out there, and the kids don't want to leave. They have so much fun, so it kind of backfires on them a little bit, but we do have a good time out there.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm fine. I love your program.
Thank you.
And I would like to know the address for the children's home.
Okay.
And do you need volunteers?
What about that?
Well, the address for the home is 203 Woodcraft Drive. So we're located just pretty close to the Walmart out there off of Rutherford. And like I say, we're kind of tucked away there, and not too many people know about us. But
that used to be out in the country, didn't it?
That used to be in the country. We're not so far in the country anymore. But we occasionally do have needs for volunteers. But it's just kind of on a case-by-case basis. And one thing we do have to be careful with, because we're dealing with children, we got to be a lot of times the volunteers have to go through a screening process just to make sure that there's nothing that would put the kids at risk.
I'm a foster parent.
Okay, great.
It's good to know. And I would like to leave my number with you.
I tell you, could you call out there and instead, because if you leave it here, you're going to leave it on the radio.
All right. Yeah.
let me give you the number out there. Do you have a pencil?
Yes, I do.
It is 896.
1459. 1459.
Right.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
893-1450 is our number. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Just don't leave your number on the radio unless you want to give it to everybody. And we have about 3 minutes left in the program as you look ahead at the years to come. What are your envisions, your visions for the future? David, let's look at you because it looks like you're the one that's in the driver's seat now.
Well, if it's me just talking about the home, first of all, we want to make sure that everyone who's been at the home, any child who's ever been there, whether it be for one day, a week, a year, however long, they're always welcome. They can come back. They want to come by. We'll fix them a meal. We'll sit down with them. But just to continue what the Medlocks and the Kimmel started, because just in the month that we've been here, we've seen so many blessings that you could never even begin to describe, that I know that God's not done doing the work that he started 50-plus years ago with these men. And my goal, my aim is to further that work, to reach out, to expand out to the community, both here and around as far as we can, and let them know that we're here, what we do, and try to get as many kids as we can, the right kids, into the home. And we can never take the place of a mom and dad. We can certainly take their space for a while, and we can show these kids what they need and train them hopefully up in the way that they should go.
And Dwayne, since you grew up there, what are your thoughts? What is your view toward the future?
I agree with Brother Dave here. I tell you, if it weren't for the home, I'm not sure where I would be today. And I know there's a lot of children out there who are hurting, who need love, who need care. And that's what the home's there for. It's a ministry to teach them the way of the Lord, to take care of them, to give them 3 meals a day, you know, a safe environment, and to teach them right from wrong. And, you know, I was just a poor kid in a bad situation, and I tell you what, there's many children like that today. And the vision that I have for the home is that it continues. It's not my home; it's a ministry, and there's a lot of hurting kids out there who need the home, and the home needs them. Mm-hmm.
Randall, what about you?
Well, I tell you what, seeing the home over the years, and seeing the impact that it's had on kids, to me, it's just a privilege to be a part of it, mm-hmm. and to be able to have some kind of influence in these kids' lives. And I'm just anxious to see what the Lord has to. We've been in a little bit of a transition over the last year or so, and we're starting to get our feet back on the ground. We're opening the doors to take kids, and so we're looking for them. And we're just praying that the Lord will bring us the right children, mm-hmm. and that we can you know, be a source of stability in their lives at a time they need it. And so I'm very, very excited. We're glad to be out in the community and trying to spread the word. We have a new website. It is www.gsch.net. A lot of information there on the site if you want to go there. And we'd be happy to take any calls that they have. If they ever have questions, feel free to call the home. And if they know of anybody in a situation where the family is struggling, you know, please recommend us as an option.
We've been talking this morning with Randall Graby, David Grubbs, and Dwayne Perry from the Good Shepherd's Children's Home. That's on Woodcraft Drive. If you have any questions, the phone number there is 896-1459. You have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.